Okay, we will start the October 19th meeting of the Core MPO Advisory Committee on Accessible Transportation. For those of you that are using a computer, using Zoom on your computer, just a little tip. You can leave yourself muted, and if you need to talk temporarily, you just hold down the space bar. It's kind of like holding the button on a microphone so you can speak. That's a little more convenient than clicking on the unmute and mute button all the time. So the first item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Teresa, I vote to approve the agenda.
And is there a second?
Neil seconds.
All right. There's been a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by stating aye.
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 And the agenda is approved. The second item are action items, and first is approval of the meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the August 24th meeting?
It's Pam, so moved.
All right, is there a second?
Wycota, second.
Okay. Let's do it this way. Anybody opposed? If you are opposed, signify by stating nay. All right. No opposition, and that's tacit agreement. The minutes are approved. Item number two is adoption of the 2021 ACAP meeting schedule. Wycota, is that you?
Is that Aisha and Ms. Chairman? And the ACAD committee members, I also want to introduce our new staff member, Aisha Hurton. And she probably in the future, she will be the main MPO contact person for ACAD.
Okay.
So she will be working closely with you.
All right. Welcome, Aisha.
Hi, everyone.
And her name is Aisha, Wycota?
H-E-R-N-T-O-N, Aisha Hurton. Is that right, Aisha?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right. I'm trying to share my screen and it says host disable participant screen sharing.
So Sally may need to fix that.
Judy, would you please allow Aisha to share her screen?
There we go.
Now I won't be able to view that on the phone, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, Aisha, when you present the calendar, please read aloud so that Teresa can hear you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go. Sorry, still trying to. Okay, can everyone see it?
Yes.
Yep.
See it.
Okay, so if I could just bring your attention to the third column. This is the proposed 2021 ACAT meeting schedule. So like the previous schedule, it'll be held on the fourth Monday at 1 p.m. and it'll also be held on even numbered months. The only date that had to be rescheduled was this December 13th date, which is on a second Monday instead of a fourth Monday. Are there any comments or questions or conflicts with this survey? I mean, schedule.
Aisha, read the dates, the meeting dates.
Oh, the dates.
So Teresa can hear.
Okay. So the first meeting is on February 22nd with a cutoff date of February 3rd. The second meeting is April 26th with a cutoff date of April 7th. The third meeting is June 21st with a cutoff date of June 2nd. The fourth meeting is August 23rd with a cutoff date of August 4th. The fifth meeting is October 25th with a cutoff date of October 6th. And the final meeting is on December 13th with a cutoff date of November 22nd.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any conflict for anybody that you know of for those dates? I know it's, you know, we're looking a year out for some of them. All right, if there are no conflicts, we will entertain a motion to approve the proposed meeting dates for the Cornpio ACAT for 2020.
So moved. Sorry.
Okay, is there a second?
Thought you were done.
Do we have a second?
Dakota can second.
Okay. Again, are there any objections? If there are, please signify by stating nay. Then we will, through tacit agreement, pass the motion for the tentative 2021 ACAT schedule, and 2021 cannot get here fast enough.
Yeah, I suggest that everybody just put these days tentatively on your calendar for next year. So,
yeah. Let's, just kind of a note, Wycota.
Yeah.
My plan is to retire next year. So,
we want an election then?
Beg pardon?
Do we need an election?
Yeah, we do.
In that case, okay. Can we do that in December?
Sure, yeah.
So the new chairman will take over in December.
That would be great.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So if any of you guys have desire to be the chair of ACAT, please let us know. All right, number three is the safety targets. Who's got that one?
Well, Mark is supposed to present that, but I don't see him here. I can present it.
Okay.
If needed, okay. I'll just share my screen.
The quorum. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Pam Oglesby just lost computer connection. She's calling, or she's trying to get her computer to come back up.
Oh.
Just to let you know, because she was part of our quorum. We just lost her.
See, one, two.
Do we have a quorum without her, Wycota?
Six, seven. I think we do.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know whether Mark is going to join us, but I can just go ahead and do the presentation on this one.
Okay.
So. Let me see. So normally, I think when Stephanie was here and she was doing the presentation on the performance-based planning and target setting, there's only one target, the performance target, that's the safety target that we have to adopt every year. We either adopt the state set targets or we can develop our own. So for the past years, we decided that we would just adopt the state targets so that, because we don't have the capability to go ahead and collect data. So, but state has the capability. So they set the targets and collect the data and then to see whether they meet the targets. So this time they set up the 2021 targets. And then I can read over here. So number of fatalities, the target is a 1,715. So maintain the 5-year moving average traffic fatality under the projected 1,715 5-year average by December 2021. That's the number of fatality targets. And then the number of serious injuries, the target is a 6,407. So normally they use like 5-year rolling average. So maintain the 5-year moving average serious traffic injuries under the projected 6,407 5-year average by December 2021. And then for the fatality rate is 1,230. So maintain the 5-year moving average traffic fatalities for 100 million vehicle miles traveled under the projected 1.23 5-year average by December 2021. And then there's also a serious injury rate to reduce the 5-year moving average serious traffic injuries for every 100 million miles travels under the projected 4.42 5-year average by December 2021. And then the last one, I think probably most concerning, the ACAT, because that's the non-motorized fatalities, and we use buses and we use paratransit. services. So the non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries, the target is to maintain the five-year moving average non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries under the projected 687 five-year average by December 2021. So we need to adopt this by February 2022, but since we received the targets earlier this year, so we decided to just to go ahead and adopt these targets in October. So these are the JITA set targets. So we don't have to set our own. So we would just ask that ACAT to just endorse these safety targets for fiscal year 2020, for next year. Yeah, basically.
Okay, is there a motion to adopt the state's safety targets for 2021?
2021.
Do I hear a motion?
Teresa, I move to support or endorse.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, thanks, Bridget.
Who's that seconded?
Bridget.
Oh, Bridget, okay. Yeah, because we just need to make sure that we document this on the in the minutes. Yeah, because, yeah. We have to state our names.
All right. Anybody opposed? Signify by stating nay. And by tacit agreement, motion endorsement passes.
James, do you hear me?
I do hear you, Pam. Welcome back.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
You bet. Sorry you're having trouble. Okay. We'll move on to status reports. The 2021 federal certification.
Okay, yeah, this is supposed to be Mark as well, but he's not here, so I will just do the presentation.
Okay.
So basically, as the TMA, the Transportation Management Area, Savannah area is a TMA. It's like large MPO. So smaller MPOs between 50,000 people and 200,000 people is a small MPO. But the larger MPOs, TMAs, we have an urbanized area of population of more than 200,000. And then we have to go through the federal certification review every 4 years. So last time we got our certification in 2017, and we're going to have another one 2021. So this is basically about that. Basically, Federal Highway Administration and Federal Transit Administration, they review all of our planning processes and the planning products. So for example, the long range transportation plan, transportation improvement program, unified planning work program, participation plan, Title VI plan. So the federal process, basically, they want to make sure that we follow the public involvement process and then our documents meet all of the federal requirements. So they do a desk audit and then they do like in person, but this time they might do like a virtual site visit. So I think all of the committees, including ACAT, will be updated on this process from now on until we get our final certification. So if we don't get certified, that means we will lose federal funding in this area. So normally they gave the recommendations at the end of this certification review. They would say, okay, this is the core MPO's strengths, and these are the recommendations that need to follow through. And then the worst of all is that these are the corrective actions. You haven't met these corrective actions, and then you have to make the corrections to those. So our target is to get certified all through, because it doesn't not only impacts the core MPO, but also include the CAD as well. Because if we don't get certified, the federal dollars all hold up for the Savannah area, including federal highway money and have federal transit money. So we want to make sure that we get certified. So Federal Highway Administration has already sent us, I think, a lot of questions. So Mark is working to like address those, provide responses right now. And then we're also providing all the documents on our website. So make sure that all the links are ready so that they can click on that. And they will just get all that information. So they start their review process.
So Wakoda, did you say we are counted as a small MPO?
We are a larger one.
We are, okay.
Yeah, because we are more than 200,000 people. That's why we have to go through this four-year certification review process. If you're a smaller MPO, you don't have to do this.
Okay.
So you only have the like self-certification with the state DOT. But for the larger ones, you have to go through the federal process.
Okay.
So right now, we are just providing the documents and answers and to the questionnaire. And then the kickoff will be in November. And the desk audit will probably, starting in November. And then site visit might be in March. We don't know. But the final report probably will be provided to us in March. So in December meeting, and then next year's February meeting and April meeting, we'll probably just provide you with more information on this item. Because at the TCC meeting, Federal Highway Administration personnel has already told us we need to keep this calendar, keep this item on all of the future meetings until the certification review is over. Basically, it's very important because it makes sure that we are certified and that we get federal dollars for City of Savannah, Chatham County, Pooler, Garden City, all the federal dollars, and the CAT has the FTA dollars because this is a very important process.
Okay, very good. Are there any, so do you think they're going to do a site visit with the whole?
I think they probably will do a virtual one this time.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Last time, I think they sent like three or four people down here for several days. So this time, I think they're going to do virtual.
Any questions from anyone? If not, we will move on to the next item on the agenda.
Okay, the next agenda is the UPWP development. Fiscal year 2022. We are in fiscal year 2021. That runs from July 1st of 2020 to June 30th, 2021. So fiscal year 2022 runs from July 1st, 2021 to June 30th, 2022. So Unified Planning Work Program is the staff work program. So basically it just tells you who needs to do what, the staff. So for example, right now I'm leading the ACAD meeting, I'm managing all of the meetings. So I'm the tip manager. So it just outlines what staff does. So we have a new planner like Aisha next time. She will be the ACAD lead. So it just UPWP outlines what staff does and which task. So that we can charge the salary to that grant. For this time, for fiscal 2022 Unified Plan Work Program, there are two things to mention. One is the call for studies. So basically, the GDOT has sub-allocated.
I'm sorry, this is the interpreter. Can you repeat what those studies were?
Call for studies? Can you see the screen? It's called MPU Call for Plans and Studies. Okay, it's a call for plans and studies. So basically, when we receive our planning grants, GDOT gets the grants from Federal Highway Administration and then sub-allocates the grants to the MPOs based on the population and other criteria. So over the years, some of the MPOs probably cannot spend all of the money. So if we don't spend all our planning grants, we need to return the balance to GDOT. So GDOT, over the years, GDOT has this positive balance. So they want to use this positive balance. So they were saying, what can we do about it? So they pull all that balance into discretionary planning grant. So, and then they issue the call for studies normally in March. So we have two opportunities in March and September. We can submit our applications. So currently, we talked to you about like State Route 21 access management, which was like Garden City request. And then we also talked about the Chatham County request for State Route 307 corridor study. So those are all using this part of money, this discretionary PL grant. So right now we're just trying to be proactive So we do this call for plans and studies because all these plans, all these studies and plans must be included in the Unified Planning Work Program before we can start to apply for the funds. So now we issue this call for plans and studies just in case maybe City of Savannah wants to apply for this grant for some kind of analysis, maybe traffic analysis or something, so they can apply for these funds. And then we will include that information in the Unified Planning Work Program. So right now, this is the call. And then the due date, I think, is this November. I think it's November 12th. Yeah, November 12th is the due date. So this is basically the local jurisdictions. So if you want to pursue a study and you need some assistance on the transit, on the federal funding, so just coordinate it with us and send us the information, and then we will include that in the UPWP. So this is the first item I want to talk about for the UPWP. The second item that we have is this transit portion, because we received the call for projects from GDOT. We are the subrecipient from GDOT. So GDOT Intermodal Office has already issued the call for call for projects. So basically, we have to apply for this transit grant. So I just try to explain a little bit more. So the MPO staff, like my salary, Mark's salary, Asia's salary, and we also get a new staff member, Alicia Hunter. So her salary will be covered by federal grants. Federal grants coming from two different sources. One source is from Federal Highway Administration. So that's the PL grant. But the other grant is from Federal Transit Administration, which GDOT manages. And then we are the subrecipient. So GDOT each year, they issue this call for projects. And then we have to submit the application and then go through the process before we can get the planning grants for the transit activities. So this is basically the transit application, transit funding application. So part of this federal funding application, so you have to submit the application that requires a lot of information. Part of the information is the next year's Unified Planning Work Program and focusing on the transit. So what you're going to do next year for the transit planning. So that's why we have this draft of Fiscal 22 UPWP pages just for the transit. So for the transit planning tasks, there are three subtasks. So three major tasks: transit paratransit planning, long-range transportation plan, and the transportation improvement program. Like all what we are doing right now with the ACAD meeting, that falls into transit paratransit planning. And then also we will have a lot of coordination with CAT, like attend the CAT board meetings, get some assistance to CAT if they need one. And then we are going to update the Title VI plan. I think James and Teresa are both part of that update process. I think Neil probably will be contacted as well. Asia might be contacting you because we need some assistance on how to do like virtual public involvement. So that update falls into this transit, paratransit planning as well. So all of the communications, public outreach, with like LEP, limited English proficiency plan, and then people with disabilities. So that fall into the transit paratransit planning. And then transportation improvement program, you have already know, is the short range programming document. So we have to get all the projects programmed in the TIP before we can get the funds. And then before that, we have the long range transportation plan, because TIP is a subset of the long range transportation plan. So we have to make sure that if we have a new project, because we adopted a 2045 plan last year. So if we have a like new project to be, and we need to amend it into the 2045 plan. So for example, CAT has the, I might start ask Bridget, when is CAT going to do the like transit development plan? So if they have a transit development plan, they have some new recommendations that we haven't accommodated in the long-range transportation plan. We need to accommodate it. We need to amend the long-range plan for that. So basically the UPWP for transit tasks are included into these three subtasks: long-range plan, transportation improvement program, and transit paratransit planning. Any questions? So if
what
you want
those three tasks?
Hmm?
Three tasks.
Yes, three subtasks. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What were the three subtasks?
First one, transit, paratransit planning. Second, long-range transportation plan. The third is transportation improvement program. Okay. Any more questions?
Okay, we can move on to the participation plan. Is that next?
Yeah, participation plan. Aisha can do the presentation.
Yes.
You need to share your screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I click stop share.
Let's see. Can everyone see the participation plan?
No, we see the calendar. Yep.
Okay, let me try that again.
I can see where I called.
Okay, how about now?
Yes, we can see it.
Okay, good. So I guess I'll just get started. Hi, everyone. I'm just going to give a short status report on the participation plan and Title VI update. For those who don't know what the participation plan deals with, it's basically a plan for creating ways to engage the public with the core NPO and transportation topics, as well as create opportunities for underserved communities to have access to core NPO and transportation information. So this is everyone who is working on this update. Mm-hmm. So we have Wakoda Wang, Mark Wilkes, Teresa Brenner, Daniel Brantley, Deborah Sieg Bowen, Christopher Middleton, Kayla Brown, and me, Asia Herndon. And we're all just collaborating to bring a variety of ideas to the table and figure out how we can do public outreach during a time like this, especially during the pandemic. So one of the basic things we're doing with this update is replacing outdated information in the language. So any population, demographic, or general changes will be added. But what we're also doing is putting a heavy focus on COVID-19 and how it will affect public outreach efforts in the future. One area of focus that we are exploring is social media, and that's because it presents a great opportunity to reach a lot more people, and it can be done safely during the pandemic. It's also very common for a lot of governments and organizations to live stream their meetings on social media platforms like Facebook and YouTube. And so I think this is just a great opportunity because the infrastructure exists to reach a lot of people. A lot of people already have a YouTube account or a Facebook account. So this would be a great way to kind of get the word out there about information in the core NPO. It also gives us the opportunity to safely host Q&As. And so that can just give us the ability to create a real dialogue with the public. And we can also keep people more easily informed by making email lists, and we can email newsletters, updates, reminders, and a lot of important information directly to their emails. We're also looking into using more visuals to increase interest and understanding in the topics that we talk about. So we're thinking about visuals because they're very eye-catching, and specifically infographics. Because they're a mixture of interesting images as well as informative information. And so we just wanted to possibly create infographics after meetings so we could do interesting summaries of what we're talking about. Another area that we want to work on is language. So the general public probably won't know a lot of transportation specific language and terms. So what we want to do is clearly define these terms in a way that people can understand. And we also want them to understand the processes of the core MPO and transportation projects. So some of what we want people to know is, how does the planning process work? How does it receive funding and how much funding? Which parties are involved in these projects? We just want people to have a base understanding of what's going on in their community. We also want to make this content accessible to people with disabilities so they can also stay informed. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who is doing sign language interpretation right now. You're doing really great work, and this is really, really helpful. And it's something that we would like to do for every meeting in the future, just so people that are deaf or low hearing can access the same information as those who are hearing. We also wanted to provide audio summaries for blind and low vision people so they can also access this information. And
okay,
we want to collaborate. Oh, is someone speaking?
No, this is Teresa. I just said thank you for that.
Yeah, me too. I was shaking my head the whole time, Teresa.
Okay.
Teresa and Pam, we need your input on this, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's, yeah, we definitely want to hear from local organizations to learn about the specific needs of disabled people. So, yeah, we definitely need a lot of input from the community. We also want to reach underserved communities. So there are a lot of communities that may have less access to this information. And to remedy this, we want to provide printed summaries and infographics that can be given directly to elderly communities and also communities that may not have internet access. And we also want to provide Spanish translations for those who do not speak English. Another thing that we're also exploring that's not in this PowerPoint is also doing short surveys after these meetings to see demographic information about who is attending these meetings, because we just want to make sure that we have a good cross-section of the community represented in these meetings.
Yeah, I think currently when we go to the public meetings, it's not mandatory, it's voluntary. People like to, okay, tell us what your ethnicity is, all that information, because that might help us to make sure that to reach out a big cross section of the population. So
yeah.
I don't mind filling my information. I'm Chinese, so I'm Asian, but I mean, there might be some people who really don't really mind that.
Yeah, it would be completely voluntary and only would be used as a tool to see who is coming to these meetings and who we need to maybe reach out more if someone or if a group is underrepresented. So the timeline of this project, we are hoping to get the first draft completed by October 20th and then receive the comments from federal and state government actors on November 30th. And a part of this plan is having a 45-day public comment and review period. And that's just where the public comes in and they comment on the draft that we have produced and they give us their input or any insights. And so that is going to take place between January 5th, 2021 to February 18th, 2021. That's a mistake, that should be 2021. And we are hoping to get this adopted by the core MPO on February 24th, 2021. Are there any questions or comments?
Yeah, Teresa, Pam, I think you already have questions.
This is Pam. Mm-hmm. I heard her say that they were gonna do some type of venue, you know, for visually impaired and blind people. My question is,
everybody does not use a computer. So is there any possibility as you do this that you can create any of this maybe in large print or in braille?
Yeah, that's absolutely something that we can do. We're also talking about providing, let's see which slide it was, like printed infographics and charts, and those can definitely be sized up for people who are low vision, and we can reach out to communities that work with blind and low vision people so that we can look into providing translations.
This is Teresa, and you were mentioning about the elderly population. I live in a apartment complex with the elderly, and there's a lot of visually impaired here, and not everybody here uses computers, and not everybody uses Braille or large print. So how would you propose, I don't know what meetings are available to those people other than meetings, so a representative reaching out to these communities?
Well, that's definitely something that we can add. That's why we really want everyone's input, because I think a representative reaching out to these communities would be really great, because while internet access is becoming more common, there are still a lot of people who do not have access to the internet and online resources. Yes. So I definitely...
Well, and I'm wondering what mediums are available to a person, say, that's elderly and does not use a computer, that is visually impaired or low vision.
Right.
And I don't know if there's, I mean, I don't know if CDs are outdated now. I use a computer and an iPhone, so, I'm good. But what about people who don't use either of those?
Yeah, so part of the participation plan, if you look at the older one, doing television segments on the news was also another option that was in that participation plan. So we can definitely do that for this plan as well, so that...
Go ahead. I was going to throw in there, Georgia Radio Reading Service is an excellent way to reach low vision and people in our community. I mean, it goes all over the state, but they do local programs too.
Yeah, Georgia Radio Reading Service. Yeah, yeah. I think they're in our contact database. But I think also for the visually impaired, probably we always make sure, because I think for last Zoom meeting, we didn't have provide a phone number. But for this one, we did have a phone number. So
that was amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, so that means that people can call in. Last time, Tyrone Palmer wasn't able to participate because and then he has to like call me. So I have to share my office phone, but it didn't work out very well. So this time we made sure that we have this phone number listed so people can call in. So even if they cannot see, they can still hear.
Do you have to have a cell phone to use that, though? Because not many people still have a home phone, but I mean, a lot of people do. But
cell phone.
They have a cell phone for when they travel, so they would be able to use that. But what about, will these numbers work for home phones?
They should.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, they should.
Okay, good deal. Thank you.
So I think we also talked about, I think last time, James, so when we had the first stakeholder meeting, you said Neil might have some information as well at LIFE, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they have all kind of stuff that they could share with us. Neil can speak to that better than I can.
Yeah, it's just whatever information or whatever, I mean, whatever you want us to do, we can include that so that we would try to make it happen.
And I missed that first stakeholder meeting, but I'll make every effort to make the next one.
Yeah, so right now we already know that we need to provide a phone number so people who don't have internet access can call in. And then we know for like Dr. Lala that we got to provide the interpreting sign language interpreting service, and then Pam suggested that we use like large font. So these are the ideas that we can put into the participation plan and the Title VI plan to make sure that we meet the needs of the people that we are targeting.
Exactly. And everyone is definitely open to emailing me any ideas that they have. And I also created an email group for everyone working on the participation plan. So Teresa, I'm pretty sure you are in that email group, and I can shoot you like a quick email and then we can kind of.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think Aisha also share your email address with the ACAD member after the meeting.
Okay.
So that when they have suggestions, they can send it to you.
Yeah, definitely. Is everyone interested, ready to write it down?
Oh, no, do that later.
Oh, later. Okay.
Yeah. Do that after the meeting. So Pam, you can just call in. I know that you don't receive emails, right?
Yeah, but I can call and speak with her.
Yes, you can call her. So
thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Is was that all you had, Asia?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'm doing okay.
So next is the 2021-24 TIP development.
Yeah, that's my item. So I would just, it's a very short one.
Okay.
So as you can see, we have this preliminary draft. So, but it's a very big document. If you don't want to read it, you can read it later. So basically, we are developing the fiscal year 2021 to 2024 transportation improvement program. This is the programming document. So it outlines like how much money we will receive for the next 4 years. And then how are we going to allocate that money to what project phase? So far, remember we talked about this in August. So we established the TIP prioritization methodology and the TIP priorities. And then after that, the TCC had a special meeting to talk about allocating Z230, Z301, and HIP funds to the priority projects. And after that, I developed the preliminary draft TIP and sent it to Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration, and GDOT for comment. Their comments are due actually by the end of this month, by the end of this week, actually. And then at the last week's TCC meeting, there was some new development after that. So the TCC reallocated some of those funds, which will be incorporated into the revised draft TIP. And then when I received the comments from FTA, GDOT, and FHWA, we incorporate all of those comments and also incorporate all the changes happened at the TCC and then send the revised draft to the public for a 30-day public comment period. And so we're still targeting for December adoption. But if you want to review whatever information in the preliminary draft, and as I showed you a moment ago, it's a pretty big document and it's already available online, but the revised draft will be presented to you in December. So that will include all of the comments incorporated and then and all of the changes that have already been made. So that's it.
Okay. All right, so next we will move on to status or agency reports. Bridget, did you have anything for us from CAT?
Good afternoon, everyone. Basically, no new information, but just to give everyone if they did not attend any of the public meetings in regards to our ridership for Sundays starting in November, we are eliminating our Sunday service on our fixed bus routes. However, paratransit will stay in service on Sundays, and that is basically due to low ridership. And right now, I think the targeted date for that to start back up will be the end of our fiscal year, which would be June 30th, I guess, unless something changes with COVID. But they are eliminating that Sunday service. What they are going to do, and I don't have the exact routes, but it is on our website at catchacat.org. They are ramping up some of those higher routes, like Route 14 and the 31, since we're eliminating the Sunday service, because during the day we do see, we send what we call hot buses out when we see if the operators are letting us know I've had to leave some passengers because of the social distancing. So we're only putting so many on a bus. I think the highest amount with the larger bus is about 15 or 16 people. So sometimes that will cause some delays. So when we find that information out, the operators will dispatch and then we'll send another bus out to get those passengers. But other than that, that's really all the reporting that we have right now in terms of how this will affect our passengers. But paratransit will continue the same services that we have been doing for paratransit. This will only affect those that are riding the fixed route buses. And one other thing, we haven't made a date yet because we're still fare free, but that is coming to an end as well, but that is to be reported. Well, I don't have any information on it yet. Is what we were doing. We have barriers up in all of our paratransit vehicles now. So we're waiting to finish the installment for all of them on the fixed route buses. And then once that initiative is completed, then we'll start adding the fares back. But until then, it is going to be fare free. And that is all that I have.
Thank you.
Okay, James, I also want to mention that under other non-agenda information for reference. So you will see the GDOT project status report, CAT project status report, City of Savannah project status report, and Chatham County project status report. So if anybody is interested in reviewing that information, so that provides the latest information on those agencies' managed projects.
Great, thank you. Neil, do you want to share anything from LIFE?
Is Neil still on?
I think so. Sorry, a second ago.
Sorry about that. I just had to, I just was answering a call from one of my coworkers. Okay. Nothing much new. We are right now, we're going to be putting together our first CARES Act committee. We've got funding that we received through CARES Act, which is going to allow us to provide supplemental services around COVID-related needs. We're going to be putting together the criteria for qualifications and priorities. The majority of that funding is going to go towards trying to knock down our home mod list, because the home mod list is just, it's over $1 million, and it's about 2 years long. It'll make a dent, but that's about it. However, we do want to be mindful of, we're preparing for the fact COVID is going to continue for the foreseeable future in some capacity. And we recognize that as it continues on, the resources are going to kind of fall away as funding shortages and things like this impact other agencies and other organizations that are offering it, usually agencies. And so we want to be able to step into the void at that point and assist, whether that's with transportation, whether that's with food insecurity, whether that's with whatever we're seeing that's coming out of COVID, additional technologies, assistive technologies that are needed. Just as a reminder, the only qualifications are you live in our 20 county region and you say you have significant disability. If you're aware of shortfalls that we have in society, the things that you're seeing that aren't being addressed, please let me know. Please let Juliet know, who's on this call with me, so that we can incorporate that into our service priorities. We don't want to duplicate efforts, but where those efforts are not being made by other organizations, we want to be able to step in.
Very good.
James?
Yes.
I think Leon mentioned Juliet. I think just for the clarification of the minutes, can each one of those as participating indicate who they represent?
Sure.
Where's that list? Yeah, I saw that list previously. Let me stop my screen.
Yeah.
Okay, participants. Okay. Okay, Wycoda Wong from Quorum PO. I think Judy's from Quorum PO. James, you're from Chatham County, right?
Correct.
And Teresa?
Savannah Council of the Blind.
Savannah Council of the Blind. And who was that number,
912-232-5633? Tyrone
Palmer. Oh, okay, Tyrone. Tyrone, you are on. Okay, that's great. So this time you're finally able to join. So Tyrone, state your agency. please.
Okay, the National Federation of the Blind of Chatham County.
Okay, National Federation of the Blind of Chatham County. Pam?
Savannah Chatham Council on Disability Issues, SCODI.
Okay, SCODI. Thank you. Aisha, MPC, Quorum PO. Brenda? Brenda, are you still on?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
The Housing Authority of Savannah.
Okay, the Housing Authority of Savannah. Okay, thank you.
Great.
Bridget.
Uh-huh.
Kat, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, Deborah. We have a Deborah on.
I think she's an interpreter.
Oh, okay, Deborah is the interpreter, okay.
Yes, I'm a sign language interpreter.
Okay, sign language interpreter. And Everett, I think that's Pamela from MPC. Sally is from MPC. Joshua Ferguson is also the interpreter,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Sign language interpreter.
Okay, great, thank you. And then Juliet is from LIFE.
Yes,
that's correct.
Okay, Julie is from LIFE. Neil is from LIFE. And Dr. Frank Lala is the, I think.
CCAD, CCAD, Chatham Council Association of the Deaf.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Okay, so this is for the clarification for the minutes.
Coastal chapter of the Association of the Deaf.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, anybody else want to share any reports? All right, if not, our next meeting will be on Monday, December the 7th at 1 p.m. I assume we're going to be doing that via Zoom again.
Yeah, I think we will. For now, Zoom is the way that we can target like 99% of our members over here. So because all the others, we have problem like GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar. Some people might have like more difficulties. So Zoom might be the only one that is viable right now.
Agreed. So there are some non-agenda information items that are available on the Core NPC website. They're listed in your agenda if you have an agenda packet. There's one that's the NPC awarded grant to form Coastal Empire Resilience Network, GDOT project status report, CAP project status report, City of Savannah and Chatham County project status reports. So those are all available on the Core NPO website. If you download the agenda, if you use a computer, you can click on those items in the agenda and it will take you to the appropriate document.
Yeah, let us know if you have any questions on any of these projects. So we will coordinate with the project sponsors and try to get answers for you.
Okay. So if there is no other business from anyone, we will adjourn the meeting. Thanks, folks. And we'll see you December 7th.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Be thinking if you want to be the president or the chairman of ACAP, we need someone to take that position.
Do we want to form a nomination committee or just we would just nominate on the spot?
Let's just do it at the meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Bye everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye guys.